All right, let's turn to your Bibles to the book of Philippians. We are continuing our look, almost coming down to the end of this chapter. We will conclude it, really. It will be the beginning of September, just with the schedule and everything, and being out of town for a couple of weeks. Kurt's going to take over for our preaching, but we'll finish chapter 3 the first Sunday in September, Lord willing. But today we're going to be looking at verses 18 and 19. Remember, last week we really looked at biblical leadership, and actually that's where I want to start, is actually in verse 17, and really want to kind of, I think today's message really kind of tie up some things as far as our vision for the year and the importance of having your own personal vision, goals, direction in your life. But obviously that's going to match up to what the overall goal should be, as we've seen in Philippians chapter 3. But let's look at it first of all in verse 17. Philippians chapter 3 verse 17, it says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample." And we talked about that word last week, that ensample, basically like example, that deals with a pattern or a way to be able to lead people. And that's what Paul is saying. Hey, follow me as I follow Christ, as well as those who are doing the same. And so what's been Paul talking about in this chapter about following him? And that's been dealing with pressing toward the mark. If you go back to just verse 13 and 14 of the same chapter that we've covered a few weeks ago, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." What you have is Paul laying out a goal. Paul laying out a vision, understanding this high calling that, again, comes from the Word of God. And remember that our vision verse for the year is in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." In other words, talking about going back to the law, the Word of God is what's going to allow you to have that vision, have that direction. If there is no vision, you're going to perish. And that's exactly what we're going to see here, the importance of what we're going to be looking at today in verses 18 and 19. So you look back at Philippians chapter 3, and pick it up in verse 18 and 19. There's this parenthetical statement that Paul is laying out here, and really it's a sad story, and it's something that goes on too often, as we're going to see. But in verse 18 it says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Now, the first thing that we need to understand about these two verses is that Paul is talking about Christians. He's not talking about lost people. He's talking about Christians. All right? That they've come to the place where they literally are the enemies of the cross of Christ. And thus, the title of our message today, as far as enemies of the cross. And it's like, I know it doesn't make sense. It seems like, well, obviously, you know, we're talking about lost people. We're talking about the world. But they're enemies of the cross, isn't it? Yeah, I understand that. But the context of what Paul is dealing with here is talking about Christians. And we're in danger. We can become enemies of the cross. And we'll give you a number of examples of showing that as Christians. So where we go to the place where we're not walking according to the truth of the Word of God anymore. We're walking according to our flesh, which makes us enemies of the cross. And he says that there are many that are walking that way. And you know why that is? Because they're not following the vision and direction that is laid out by God in His Word. Of pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, as we talked about in that passage, it's not a matter of just receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That's the beginning. That's the start of your walk. And the Lord wants you to be able to grow in that, and again, to be able to come to a place where you're able to rule and reign with Him, to be glorified in the same glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's something that, again, you have to work toward. Now, I want you to look at Colossians real quick, and we'll have a quick word of prayer, and we'll get started on what we need to see today. I want you to go to Colossians chapter 3, because it ties into what we're going to see. All right, hopefully if I do my job right, and the Lord laid it out in my heart, that you'll see the importance of this. In Colossians chapter 3, I want you to look at the first couple of verses. Coming from where we see in Philippians, where again, the one thing that Paul's talking about, winning Christ, pressing toward the mark, the prize of the high calling. Notice what it says here. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, it says this, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." In other words, where's your vision at? What are you focused on? Are the things of this world, or the things of God? The things that satisfy the flesh in this world, other things that God has laid out in His Word, as far as being able to have that opportunity to be able to rule and reign with Christ. You see, that's important, because if you do not have a vision, if you don't understand a biblical understanding of goals in your life, you will accomplish nothing. And here's the thing, as we go back to Philippians chapter 3, the reason, and we're going to see this when we get to verse 19, why does a Christian become an enemy of the cross? Is because where their mind's at. They're minding earthly things instead of having their mind or their affection on Christ, that vision, that direction from Him. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started on what we need to see today out of verses 18 and 19 of Philippians chapter 3. Father in heaven, I thank you, preacher, for the day. I thank you for your word. Lord, help us to understand it today. Put this message together for us. Lord, allow us to break it down, to understand it, to see it, and put it all together again and be able to walk away here today, Lord, understanding completely what you have for us. Lord, our walk with you is not begin and end with accepting you as our personal Lord and Savior. This is just the beginning. Desire for us to walk according to the truth of your word. You have given us a vision. You've given us a calling, a holy calling. Something that we need to press toward the mark. It's not going to always be easy. It's not going to always be, no problems or anything like that. There's going to be struggles, especially living in this world. But Lord, help us to understand this truth, because we do not want to be, as Paul's talking about here, become the enemies of the cross of Christ. Again, it's so important for us to understand this, that this is not some message that it's like, oh, that's talking about the lost, that's talking about the world. No, we already know where they're at. This is referring to believers in Christ and coming to the place where they're actually an enemy of the cross. Lord, we don't want that to be our testimony. Lord, this is a Faith Bible Church where we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight, that our focus is on you, on the eternal. Lord, help that to be a reality. It's so important to understand. Meet with us today in your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Philippians chapter 3, let's pick it up again in verse 18. He says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." You've got to understand that Paul is weeping here. We'll deal with that. So that even of itself should mean that there's something going on here. He's not just talking about lost people, people who don't even know. The reason why he's weeping is because it's people that he has ministered to. It's people that have made a profession of faith. And all of a sudden, in their walk, they decided that they're not going to follow the truth of the Word of God. He says there are many that do that. And that's something that we see throughout the Scripture. It always seems like it's the many, it's not the remnant, it's not the few. It's the many that are going in the wrong way. I want you to just go back real quickly to 2 Corinthians in chapter 2 and verse 17. I think most of you are familiar with this reference. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, down in verse 17, last verse of this chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17. Paul says this, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of God in the sight of God speak we in Christ." Paul says that there are many that are out there that corrupt the word of God. He doesn't say there's a few. He says that there are many that corrupt the word of God. Just like here in Philippians chapter 3, where he said that there's many that when they walk, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. There are many, and that's a sad situation. But I bet you that you have somebody in your mind right now that you know that have accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, and maybe they were doing fine for a while, but all of a sudden they're not in church, they're not really working on the relationship with the Lord whatsoever. They're pretty much just the same thing as the rest of the people in the world. I bet you every one of you has somebody in mind that is the case. It says there's many. Well, just as Paul talked about, this is no different than what Jesus dealt with, all right, in his earthly ministry. I want you to go back to John chapter 6 real quick. John chapter 6, great chapter where the Lord's laying out how you need to eat of his body and drink of his blood. That's where we get the Lord's Supper from, and he's not literally talking about doing that. He says it's a figurative thing, and we'll cover that here in a second. This is after the feeding of the 5,000, the only miracle that's actually recorded in all four Gospels. And so in John chapter 6, I want you to pick it up in verse 60, and we'll read down through verse 69. So John chapter 6, verses 60 through 69. And this is, again, that the Lord has been laying all of this out. and again how it's through him that he has eternal life. It's not the manna that God gave the nation of Israel in the wilderness. He is that bread of life. That is where this chapter talks about, I am the bread of life. That's Jesus Christ laying these things out. You need to eat of me and a drink of my blood, have eternal life. And again, he's talking figuratively. He's not talking literally. But notice what happens to many of his disciples. Let's pick it up in verse 60. It says again, many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? Now it says many of his disciples. He's not talking about the world. He's not talking about people that don't want to have a walk or didn't have any kind of walk with him. He's talking about his disciples. We're talking there's more than the 12 here that followed Jesus Christ, all right? It's laid out in Scripture. See, the words the 70, and there's more than that. But it says, many, therefore, of his disciples, when they have heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, and that word's never in a good sense, he never finds murmuring is a good thing. This is not good at all. It says, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth or maketh alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So again, he's not physically saying that you need to eat my body and drink my blood. All right? His words are spirit, spiritually talking about these things. But notice verse 64. It says, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. Now, I'm not going to get all into this, but I'm going to tell you this, all right? A Christian can come to a place where they don't believe. If you don't believe me, which you shouldn't just take me at my word, the Word of God talks about it, 2 Timothy chapter 2, down in verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 2, down in verse 13. Paul says, even if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, speaking of Christ. He can't deny himself. Paul included it himself, if we believe not. Christians can come to a place where they don't believe anymore. And it's unfortunate that it happens, and it happens all the time. Some of the people that are big-time atheists were people that were believers in Christ. They come to a place they believe not. You go on, and it says this in verse 65, it says, and he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, notice the word again, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? Now imagine, he got many of his disciples. Right? And the Bible doesn't give us the number here of how many they were. We know that there was another 70 besides the 12. So we don't know if it's just the 70 or even more than that, but there's many of them also that just, you know what? Yeah, this is too hard of a saying. This is too much. We're done. They walk the other way. They're done walking with them. And what does Jesus Christ say? What does he do? He turns to the 12, his core disciples, and asks the question, will you also go away? Peter's answer is incredible, and it's exactly what we need to understand for us today. It says this in verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Good answer. I mean, I love it because Peter is like, where else are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. And it's that same attitude that we need to have. If we're not going to fall into this trap or fall and go in the way of the many that turn away from walking toward the Lord Jesus Christ and just walk toward the things of this world, if we're going to save ourselves from doing that, we got to understand that Jesus Christ, he has the word of eternal life. There's nowhere else we can go. Incredible, incredible confession by Peter. Now I want you to go back to Philippians chapter 3. Let's continue on. Philippians chapter 3, again in verse 18, it says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often. This is not something that Paul mentioned once or twice. He said often. It happens all the time. And don't think that you're out there that you're immune from the same thing happening. A lot of times it just takes one bad event in your life, and all of a sudden we don't believe in God anymore. We go, well, where was God in this? It happens often. And why does that happen? Because an individual does not understand that Jesus Christ is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He has the words of eternal life. He says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they're the enemies of the cross of Christ. He's weeping. He's crying over this. Paul has dedicated his life to the furtherance of the gospel of grace, to being able to tell everyone that he has in contact with the truth of the gospel of grace. And he's seen people saved, and he's discipled, and he's worked with them. He's seen churches started on the missionary journeys, and he says there's people that many often turn away from it. And it causes him to weep, to cry. Why don't you go back to Acts chapter 20. The book of Acts chapter 20. The context, you make your way there, this is when Paul is with the leaders of Ephesus. He knows, he's getting ready to go to Jerusalem. He knows that bonds, afflictions are going to bite him, that this is where he's going to get arrested for preaching Christ. And he's been warned in every city that he goes that this was going to take place, yet he still continues on and he's going to go to Jerusalem. But he's giving some last minute instructions and encouragement and really testimony to the leaders of Ephesus. And you notice down in verse 19, so Acts chapter 20 and verse 19, it says this. Paul's testimony of what he has done, it says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the laying in wait of the Jews. Again, dealing with the persecution that he often went through. But again, as he's ministering, it's a lot of tears, a lot of heartache. But this is what I really want you to understand, because it relates right back to what we're seeing in Philippians 3 and verse 18. Let's jump down to the same chapter. I want you to pick it up in verse 29. So Acts chapter 20 and verse 29. Paul says this, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. All right? Not showing them how to follow Christ, like we talked about last week, by having disciples after them, to have people follow them with perverse, they're corrupting the Word of God. For we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God. And it goes on there and it says, in verse 31, it says, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. This is something that touched Paul's heart in an incredible, incredible way. A lot of tears were shed. Tears of just going through the heartache of dealing with ministry. But tears, most of all, because he understands that there's going to be those who walk with Christ that are not going to walk anymore. They're going to become enemies of the cross of Christ, drawing disciples after them, not teaching the truth of the Word of God, corruption. And it happens all the time. And if we're going to be try to be immune from that, in a sense, and I use that word kind of loosely in a sense, but it's going to be a matter of we got to dedicate ourselves to continuing to be in the Word, applying the Word of God to our life every day. If we don't, then we are susceptible to follow in that same route as the many, becoming enemies of the cross of Christ. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 3 again in verse 18. One more thing we need to see here. It says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They're literally fighting against God. That's never a good thing. They're the enemies of the cross of Christ. Whether it's different doctrine, whatever the case is, it's like we just read, as far as we want to draw people, disciples after themselves, whatever it is. But they now have become the enemies of the cross of Christ. And again, it's like, what, really? You're talking Christians, this? Yes. Yes. Let's take a brief little tour into showing where Paul talks about people that have become the enemies of the cross of Christ. I want you to go over to 1 Timothy first of all. So flip over to the right and go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to look at the last couple of verses in this chapter. So 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. And this is just going to be a few references in dealing with people turning away from the truth, that once had a walk with the Lord and turned away and become enemies of the cross of Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. Paul's telling Timothy this, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. I understand. Paul's giving Timothy a warning. Make sure, holding faith, hold on to it. Don't let go. Don't be like some of these that I'm getting ready to mention here. He says, verse 20, of whom, call them out, is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Blaspheme is speaking evil of God and His Word. Hymenaeus and Alexander, these are believers in Christ. And they come to the place where they're shipwrecked, we're going to see. All right? They're shipwrecked. All right? They end up becoming enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul said, they've got to deliver them to Satan. And now they're going to do Satan's work. Satan can deal with them. And hopefully they will learn not to blaspheme, to get their walk back right with God. If you study out Alexander in the Bible, that doesn't seem to ever take place. Just do a quick study of Alexander. It's not mentioned that much in Scripture. It doesn't seem that he ever comes to the place where he gets back and he repents of what he has done. You look over in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Again, there's many references I can go to, but I just want to give just a couple. Go to 2 Timothy, also chapter 1. I want you to look down in verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, it says this. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Again, he's saying those in all Asia, this would be Asia Minor, this would be like the modern country of Turkey in that area today. But he says all of them have turned away from me. And again, he names a couple of two that were highlights of that. All right? That they turned away from him. All right? They're turning away from the truth. Remember, we saw last week how Paul was the example that God has given us of how to follow Christ. They turned away from that. Look in chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, down in verse 17 and 18. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17. And their word, not the word of God, and their word shall eat as doth a canker, like a cancer, of whom is, here's our guy again, Hymenaeus, and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. I mean, again, their word. They're not preaching the word of God. They're corrupting the word of God. They're part of that many that corrupt the word of God, and they're leading others astray in that. That's why they're the enemies of the cross of Christ, even though that they once was following the truth. I'll give you one more. Chapter 4. Of 2 Timothy, down in verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 10, says this, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Now, again, Paul's not coming down against Crescens and Titus, but he's saying, he's just giving them where they're at. But as far as Demas, he's the one that forsakes him. I don't do this often as far as defining what the names mean, but I find Demas' name, what it means, quite interesting. It means popular. It wants to be Mr. Popularity. And what's the problem with Demas? This is a guy, again, you can do another quick study on him. He's not mentioned that many times in Scripture at all. And you see where he was working with Paul. He was walking. He had a walk with the Lord. He was working with Paul in ministry. But what happens? He loves this present world. Forsakes the truth. Forsakes it. The gospel of grace. Interesting that he goes to Thessalonica because the name Thessalonica actually means victory. Guess what? You're never going to have victory loving this present world. You go back to our introduction. Again, what does it say in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2? If thou be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. For Christ sits on the right hand of God, not on things of what? On the earth. Was it Demas? What was Demas' vision? The things of this world. That's what he loved. Instead of loving his Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't understand that where else can he ever turn to, because Jesus Christ has the word of eternal life. That vision and direction of pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Winning Christ. That wasn't his vision. That wasn't his goal. He was loving the things of this present world. And what does that end up with him? Being enemy of the cross of Christ. Any one of us here can be a Demas. Start out doing well with your walk with the Lord, serving in ministry, and get to the place that you take your vision off Christ and put it on this present world. Terrible place to be. You go back to Philippians chapter 3. We talk about the enemies in verse 18. Now let's look at their end. Let this be a warning to us in verse 19. I'll read from verse 18 again. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Where's their mind at? Where's their affection at? Where's their love at? The things of this world, not the things of God. And again, I stress it, we're talking about believers in Christ. Now I'm going to come at this verse backwards. We're going to start at the last thing that it says in verse 19, who mind earthly things, because really you have what's called a progression that's happening here. I just think God gives you what the end is from the beginning. It's like, how do you get to the place where they are in destruction, their end is destruction? It all starts by what they're thinking about. They mind earthly things. We've got to look at that first. All right? So let's go over to back to Ephesians, actually, just a couple pages back. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look down starting in verse 17. This is after the part of the passage that deals with what a local church should all be about, as far as, again, edifying, perfecting. And we looked at a couple of those verses in these last couple of weeks. I'm talking about that word perfection, or being perfect, and how a church needs to work together and edify one another. And then it says this, verses 17 and 18. It says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk, not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, the emptiness of their mind. They're minding earthly things. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So don't walk like that. Don't walk like the other Gentiles walk. That right there should tell you and show you that, guess what? Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you can't fall into the same trap of what the rest of the world and how they think. Understanding. The understanding being darkened. The ignorance that's in them. Guess what? Ignorance is not knowing something. A Christian can come to the same place of the other Gentiles. Why? Because they're minding the wrong thing. Excuse me, still in Ephesians chapter 4, let's look down at verses 22 and 23, because it gives the remedy of how we don't go that way. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22, 23, it says this, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, something that we got to continue to do. Even as believers in Christ, we still walk around in this sinful flesh. And it says in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renewed. That's why it's so important to be in the Word of God on a daily basis, to get renewed. Because if not, we can even start minding earthly things. And if we mind earthly things, you know what the end's going to happen. Destruction. We'll deal with that here in a second. It's our mindset. What do we have our mind on? The things of this present world are the things of God. It is so important that you have to be renewed in the Word of God. Daily. Alright, and this is one of the things I know, it's like, well, preacher, I don't have time to get in the Word of God daily and so forth and so on. I mean, okay. Again, we all have maybe a tough schedule. But I'm going to tell you something. Time in the Word of God on a daily basis to cleanse your mind should be priority number one. Think about all the stuff we get bombarded with in this world. Think about our flesh first and foremost. Your flesh does not want to serve God. It doesn't. All right, I'm too tired. I can't get into work. I'm just too tired. It was a tough day, long day. our flesh has come up with all kinds of excuses. Well, you know you're not going to understand the things that you're reading in there. Well, here's the thing. Take what you can understand and apply it. God's going to help you. That's why He's giving you the Holy Spirit of God. But we get bombarded with so much stuff in this world. Whether you go to work, whether just things on TV, whatever it takes, you get so much bombardment of the things and the way of this world. The earthly things. How do we deal with that? How are we going to deal with that? We need to have a brainwash. We need to be cleaned. Our mind by the water of the Word of God, as it says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. It's important. If not, we can be like the many that end up enemies of the cross of Christ. You go back to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 19. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. We talked about the earthly things. The next thing, you mind earthly things, you start getting into dealing with a glory in things that they should be ashamed of. They glory in it. They glory in it. I know I had you in Ephesians, but I want you to go right back there real quickly, just real quick, in Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to look down at verses 11 and 12. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Whose glory is in their shame. They glory in something that they should be ashamed of. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 says this, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You know, there's some things in this world that are done, it's not even in secret anymore. And there's people that don't have a problem with it. They glory in it. Right? Last night, I can't even tell you of a certain situation because it just would not be appropriate for me to describe in any detail of what took place last night at work. I'm going to tell you this, though. It totally describes what we're talking about here to where they had no problem in what they were doing, and something they should be ashamed of. It's glory. They didn't care. They didn't care at all. Eventually had to make sure that they had to leave the casino. And there's people like that all the time. It's like things that, you know, would just be, people wouldn't want to know, wouldn't want people to know in public. I mean, they glory in it. So that's what happens. The next stage, if you are just continually minding earthly things and the way the world does things, the next thing is like there is no shame. You actually glory in a thing that you should be ashamed of. And we're talking about true believers in Christ. You know why? Because we're all in this flesh, and this flesh is corrupt, and we are susceptible to all the sins and the things of this world. And if we don't get our mind renewed daily in the Word of God, we can be easily just like the many. We don't want to be that, because the end of that is going to be destruction. You go back to Philippians chapter 3, again in verse 19. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. So we're talking about step number one, you're minding earthly things. Step number two, you're glorying in the things that you should be ashamed of. Why? Because number three, here's what your God is your belly. That's interesting. What does that mean? And God is their belly. Like their flesh. Instead of following God, who saved them, they're following their flesh, whose God is their belly. It's not the only time you see something like this. I want you to go to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, we're going to look down verses 17 and 18. Romans chapter 16. Now again, I don't think that this is a message that is a hard thing to understand and grasp and get a hold of. It's a matter of just, again, this practical truth that's being laid out that we actually have to and need to apply in our life. All right? If not, we're going to go to the way of the many. In Romans chapter 16, starting in verse 17, it says this, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." Now it's interesting to use the word mark, because last week when we were talking about biblical leadership, Paul used the same word. Mark those who walk as we have us as an example, all right? And so as we follow Christ, those are the ones that you want to mark, you want to pay attention to, but you also want to mark those who cause division contrary to the doctrine, to the truth of the Word of God. And notice what he says about them in verse 18. It says this, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Doesn't that sound like a couple of references that we've already had? 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17. "For were we not as many which corrupt the word of God?" They got all, it sounds great, the things that are coming out of their mouth, but guess what? They're not serving our Lord, they're serving their own belly. Whatever's going to feed them. We all know about it. I'm sure you can all think of some televangelist or something like that, that the words all sound great and all smooth and hunky-dory and everything like that. Oh, this is great. And what they really want is what? Your money. You understand? You know what? You need to sow a seed of faith into my ministry. And as you do that, God is going to bless you. You've got to understand, people, that I really need my Learjet. So I don't have to worry about, you know, the commercial flying, especially with COVID going on. I need to have my own jet. I need you to give to Charles Boyd's ministry so I can have my own jet to fly around. We laugh at it, but you know that there's been preachers that have taught that very same thing. They're not serving the Lord Jesus Christ. They're enemies of the cross of Christ. They're serving their own belly, their own flesh. And it happens all the time. And there are many that go down that road, that follow that. And you know why? Because they don't spend time in actually studying the truth of the Word of God. It's no wonder that there's so many Christians that leave the faith. Because of the hypocrisy that goes on in the church, leadership, and just so forth and so on. We talked about that even last week. I mean, it's no excuse that's going to fly with God. I mean, your own person, and God deals with you, gives you the Holy Spirit of God, and He gives you the Word of God. But we shouldn't let that be the excuse of why people stay away from the church. All right? Man. God is their belly. Let's go back. Philippians chapter 3, look at the last one. The end result, their end. Verse 20 again. Excuse me, verse 19. "Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." You start minding, thinking about earthly things. There's no shame in the things that you should be ashamed of. You glory in it. You understand? You come to a place that all you're feeding and all you're looking at is serving is your own belly, your own flesh, whatever pleases your flesh. The end result is this, destruction. Now, this doesn't mean that a Christian loses their salvation. Again, we've got many different references that lay out that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. I mean, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 talks about grieve not the Holy Spirit of God that's sealed you to the day of redemption. We've got 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22, again, that we're sealed with the Spirit of God. And so many places that we can't. We don't lose our salvation, but I'll tell you what we can lose out on is the exact same things we've been talking about the last few weeks. What? Winning Christ. Being able to rule and reign with Christ. As we pick it up, and as we finish this chapter, we're talking about the same glory of our body being glorified like the Lord Jesus Christ. You lose out. You'll have a glorified body, but it won't be like Jesus Christ. What your work, what you're serving your flesh, all it's going to end up being is destroyed. Your work as a Christian on this planet Earth, there's not going to be anything to show for it. Let's go to our last reference. Most of you are familiar with it. Why don't you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Our service as a Christian, we're going to be held accountable. Now we live in a day and age where, well, people don't want to be accountable for what they do. You can turn on the TV, I say it almost every week, and you can see a lot of people doing a lot of things that are against the law, and you have people that barely want to hold them accountable for it. I mean, it's absolutely insane that you can have these protesters try to block police officers in their building in Portland, Oregon, and try to set it on fire. And the mayor of that city is more concerned about the image of it because he doesn't want a certain person reelected not being political, laying out what it is. Stop doing that. How about allowing the police to arrest people that's doing what's wrong and hold them accountable? Look at the day and age that there are people that get away with crime because, you know what? We can't put them in jail because of COVID-19. And then they let people out of prison. This is a great story this week. That was, therefore, he raped somebody, he gets released, and guess what he does? He goes and murders the person that he raped. Can't send people to prison for COVID-19, but we let prisoners, those out for COVID-19, and they go and commit more crime. What kind of messed up world are we in? Don't hold anybody accountable for their actions. But let me tell you, Christian, all of us, every one of us, will be held accountable for what we do as a Christian on this planet at the judgment seat of Christ. Our work will be judged. And if there's nothing to show for it, that's something that is eternal, destruction. You're saved, yes. You're in heaven. But you have nothing to show for your Christian walk, because our walk was basically being what? An enemy of the cross. Just serving our belly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says this, starting in verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That is the foundation. There's nothing that can take that away from us. We accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He is our foundation. He is our rock. That we cannot lose that. But it goes on in verse 12. It says then, again, just like that's just the beginning of our walk with the Lord. It says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. You got six things there. The gold, silver, precious stones is that which is eternal. That deals with your love relationship with the Lord. It deals with sharing the truth of the Word of God. It deals with investing the truth of the Word of God in people's lives, the precious stone. But wood, hay, and stubble, in a nutshell, is all things of your belly, your flesh, serving your flesh. It says this in verse 13. Every man's work, that every man is dealing with those in Christ. That's the context that we're talking about here. We're not talking about the rest of the world. We're talking about Christians. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. That day is that judgment seat of Christ. After the rapture of the church, the resurrection of the body of Christ, we go right to the judgment room, right to court, and our work is judged of what sort it is. Again, it says in verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Again, gold, silver, precious stones is refined by the fire. Wood, hay, and stubble does what with fire? Poof. Gone. Destroyed. Nothing is left. Verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. His life's work is destroyed because he served his belly. He mined earthly things. He gloried in the shame. His God was his belly. And so the end result of his life's work is destruction. He loses out. Before I finish this, I want to continue on in verse 16 and 17 of this. It says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. There's, in this world, there is scores of people, as we see on TV, are getting away with a lot of stuff that is, it's crime, folks. It's crime. We have laws against it. And as too many of there's some I know get arrested and so forth, a lot are just get away with it. That is not the case with God. He's a just God. When it talks about you know, the foundation is left. I can't go through this passage, and I think because of my job as a police officer through the years, there's been times where I've been to fires, you know, not that I'm the firefighter helping out. God, no way. I mean, as much as I make fun of firefighters as a police officer, to be honest, hats off to them that battle fires and go into buildings and stuff like that. I mean, there's been fires I've gone to that, again, you know, had to deal with a guy and just had to, dude, you got to stay right here. I understand, you know, there's stuff, but you can't go in there. You'll die. And see, only thing that's left of that house is what? Foundation. Completely burned down. And the only thing that person has is themselves. Everything that they have, gone up in smoke. It's only the foundation that's left. Happens all the time, unfortunately. It's a tragic situation. I mean, I'm thankful that I've not been through something like that. And that'd be a hard thing. Hard thing. But it's a perfect picture of what we're talking about right here. How sad it would be to get to the judgment seat of Christ and see your life work go up in smoke. All there is your salvation. You're saved. The foundation. This is a message. I say it so often. I shouldn't be so bold to say this, but I bet you I'm probably not too far off. In the United States, I bet you can probably count on your hands how many preachers are preaching a message like this today or ever. Talk about God loves you. Yes, praise God, God loves us. He's given us His Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation. Praise God for that. And there's no other way to heaven but through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. And that is an incredible message. And it's, you know what? It's just the beginning of a walk with the Lord. It's not the beginning and the end. It's just the beginning. There's so much more in Scripture that God has for us. And understanding that there is this accountability. We live in a day and age where people just don't want to be accountable for their actions. I tell you folks, God's not the same way. We live a life serving our flesh, serving our belly. We're going to have a life ending up being destruction at the judgment seat of Christ. And God doesn't want that for us. He doesn't. All right? That's why He gives us His Word to show us exactly how He wants us to walk with Him every day. And folks, we've got to have that vision. We've got to have that goal, that mindset of like that time I need to spend in the Word of God. It doesn't mean that you have to read a whole book of the Bible. It doesn't mean that you have to necessarily even read a chapter. It's a matter of having that consistency of every day I'm going to spend some time with God in His Word. Folks, I have studied the Word of God all different kinds of ways. Alright? I've read through the Bible the quickest I've ever did it is in 29 days. And that's reading a lot. I mean, my day is pretty much just reading. Alright? That sort of thing. Whether in the morning, then again in the evening, that sort of thing. And I've only done that once. And I've not tried to ever repeat it. The times usually I read in 2 months. The times that I study out a chapter. Right now, I read a chapter. I pray that the Lord gives me something out of that chapter, something that I'm able to feed on and then think about and something like that. There's times where I've studied one or two verses a day, and that's it. That's it. Just one or two verses. It's not necessarily the quantity. It's a matter of what? Quality. That you're spending time with Him. And making sure that our mind is renewed. Because if it's not, we too can be in that digression of the many. We mind earthly things, glory and shame, God is our belly. End result, destruction. End result, we're enemies of the cross of Christ. Let's not be part of the many. Let's not be mob rules. No. Let's submit ourselves to the truth. Let's be like Peter. Where are we going to go? Lord, you have the words of eternal life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, and I thank you and praise you for your word. I thank you and praise you for all that you've shown us. And I pray that this message makes sense to people. Lord, do your magic. Lord, do your Spirit of God to take what has been preached, what has been said, Lord, and work it in every individual heart that will hear this message. Because it's so, so important, especially in the day and age that we live in, as we get closer to this time of the judgment seat of Christ. Lord, we want to be able to stand before you and at least have something remain. Something that is a work that is eternal. And it's easy to start with just our time with you in the Word of God. That's the goal. That's a priority. That priority number one is just time with you in the Word, getting our mind renewed. It doesn't take anything special to do that. We may not always have the opportunity to share truth with others, the silver. We may not always have the opportunity to really to invest the truth of the Word of God in somebody else, the precious stones. But there's not anything stopping us from getting gold. That's priority number one. Let us understand that there is a day coming to where we stand before you and we have to give an account of what we've done in this body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. We've got to have a vision to grow. That's why you've laid that on my heart for 2020. A vision to grow. Have a goal to be able to grow in our walk in relationship with the Lord. That we can look back on 2020 and say, you know what? It was an incredibly terrible year in this world. And the things that our country has gone through. But I have grown in my walk in relationship with you because that is what's important. That needs to be a priority. Lord, help us to understand these things. Help us, Lord. Apply this truth in every aspect and every day of our life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.